You can hear them every Sunday, every hour of every day, across the whole land. Dissonant, attenuated, hollow. You can hear them in the still of the long watches of the night. You can hear them in the streets and the byways of the world. You can hear them right outside your door. The bells of hell are calling the unfaithful to the grave. From the spirit realm to the flesh and back again, they peal. From the spires and the steeples of long-defiled temples of the congregations, it sounds its seductive death call. It is a death knell and a testament to prophecy. It's a requiem for the tares, inviting the dead to the yawning mouth of hell, to the idol of their hearts, to the image of the God they have created in their likeness. The long march of dead legions crowds the Broadway. The legions of the dying have donned the uniform of the Lord of Perdition. They bear the unmistakable marks of their deadly master. And a new chapter has begun. I've seen it, and so have you. Behind the bright blue curtain of the sky, beneath the rays of the warm sun, stretches blackness. A spiritual blackness that has slowly crept in, seeped through the cracks of our reality into our lives, unchecked, yet ordained by God. It is pouring out of the hearts of the rebellious, the sin-infected masses, and now controls the lives and sensibilities of the willfully deceived. The prophecies concerning this tide have been fulfilled, and the stage is set. The last act of this comedy of futility has begun. And only the elect know this, and have fled the stifling confines of the sepulchres of false doctrines and deceits. They have shut themselves up with their God. The elect have sought refuge in their God, the true God, and separated themselves from the decay and chaos of this present dying world. We can hear hell's bells. We can do nothing to cause the storm that is about to break, ever to relent, nor abate, until it's brought its punishment and its cleansing to God's once perfect creation. The time has come. The bullet has hit the bone. We have reached, in my view, the end of the beginning. And the lifeless eyes of them that claim to see are covered by thick scales. They chose the hand of desolation. They now bring the thunder from the sky. Watch ye, therefore, and pray always, that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. Gospel of Luke, chapter 21, verse 36. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. Amos 8:11. Famine has come upon the worlds of men and women. It is indeed the prophesied famine of the Word of God. Yes, war causes famine as much as bad weather. But has there not been war in the spiritual realms? Doesn't it continue? Haven't men's and women's hearts surrendered to the ravages of the assaults of every form of seductive evil today? This unholy war against mankind has stripped away people's ability to resist evil, and it has soundly withered their desire for the truth and holiness, as the Bible tells us. The wolves of the Dark Lord roam freely now. Their venomous offspring have whelped, and they are twice more the children of hell than their evil progenitors. Matthew 23:15. Thus the Lord God has given them up to their fantasies, and delivered unto them strong delusion. This famine is bringing a spiritual pestilence as well. Its effects are evident today. A pestilence of callousness, hard-heartedness, lawlessness, unbelief, and pride has fully overspread the realm of this world. It's a pestilence born of delusion, born of this famine. This famine is also a test for God's saints. Don't sit back and grin. This is a delusion sent because of no love of the truth. The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. Psalm 9:17. The world around us and the apostate church today is now found standing on the threshold of eternity, past the point of no return. Tell me we haven't passed the threshold of moral decadence and spiritual depravity. Adultery, fornication, sodomy, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revilings. We see those that are fearful and unbelieving, the abominable, the whoremongers, the sorcerers, the liars, the thieves, the lovers of their own selves. They're covetous, they're boasters, they're proud, they're blasphemers, they're disobedient to parents, they're unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, filled with all unrighteousness, wickedness, malicious, full of envy, debate, deceit, malignity. They're whisperers, they're backbiters, they're haters of God, they're despiteful, they're inventors of evil things, they're without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful. And many of these are they that once tasted the holy heavenly gift of God and His Spirit, to never again be renewed to repentance. Hebrews 6:4-6. These bear the form of godliness of 2 Timothy 3:5. Hebrews states the word impossible. They will not repent, nor will their repentance be accepted by the judge. As Romans 1:32 states, they, knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Yes, indeed, the enemy has changed into his ice cream suit, an angel of light, and he's hit the streets bringing another Jesus, as this false Jesus is brought to every level of society today. You see, it's trickled down to the streets, from the churches, from these corporate institutions, from these godly-looking people who mix it up every Sunday with every wind of doctrine and every abominable act of spiritual adultery. Face it, who wouldn't gladly embrace a religion which allows the old lifestyle and rewards one with heaven? Hence the voices of the humble calling for repentance are drowned out by the sound of the new gospel of love, hell's bells. Kind of a sure sign that something is different out there, isn't it? Lying signs and wonders. And don't think that Satan is sitting on his duff. He knows his time is short. He's having his ice cream suit retailored, and he performs miracles. Make no mistake. Keep your eyes open, saints. Having eyes, see ye not? Having ears, hear you not? And do ye not remember? Mark 8:18. Need we more proofs before our very eyes that we have truly begun the dark spiral downward? Doesn't iniquity abound? Is there that shed abroad agape love in the hearts of those professing Christ? Matthew 24:1. Haven't evil men and seducers grown to plague proportions, deceiving all in their paths? 2 Timothy 3:13. Don't the haters of Christ and the elect have a form of godliness themselves? 2 Timothy 3:5. Don't we have enough damnable heresies to go around even denying Jesus Christ? 2 Peter 2:1. Haven't grievous wolves entered in, not sparing the flock? The flock is not spared. Acts 20:29. Do we not pander to our children, which we have left to the wolves and the system? Do they not dictate to us? Do women not play leading roles in government, the workplace, home, the church? As stated in Isaiah 3:12, as for my people, children are their oppressors, and women rule over them. Who are his people? The saints, folks, his church, his chosen one, his Israel, his spiritual Israel. As for my people, children are their oppressors, women rule over them. What does God lament? O my people, they which lead thee cause thee to err and destroy the way of thy paths. That's Isaiah 3:12. And we'd best ponder this proof too, saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation. Ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ, Luke 1:4. But ponder who were before of old ordained to this condemnation. For they have sown the wind, and they shall reap the whirlwind. It hath no stalk, the bud shall yield no meal. If so be it yield, the strangers will swallow it up. Hosea 8:7. Satan has taken his seat in the assembly. He is the ruler of this earth. His dark ministers of light are firmly ensconced behind pulpits, TV cameras, microphones, the keyboards. The little voices in the shortwave wilderness are being squelched by any number of large, apostate, diluted 501c3 or whatever ministries. Their pride has made them humble. Their doctrine stinks of ignorance and arrogance. And this is what is now taking over all of the media. Because ye have said, we have made a covenant with death, and with hell are we at agreement. When the overflowing scourge shall pass, it shall not come unto us. For we have made lies our refuge, and under falsehood have we hid ourselves. Isaiah 28:15. I will tell you this. If the lunatic liars calling themselves prophets and voices are representative of any church movement today, perceived or presumed, I wouldn't touch that organization without a flamethrower, a hazmat team, a dozen psychologists, and an exorcist. Any devil can preach that Jesus Christ is coming soon and make people believe it. God's dirty little watchmen are becoming history, folks. The word of God's truth is being withdrawn at an alarming rate. And what is left is soundly being ignored. The famine is in place, and the pestilence spreads like wildfire. Are you locked up and hiding with a lie and not hiding with your God? You're dead. It's going to find you. In the light of what is before our eyes on a continuing basis now, what should the elect be focusing on? I can tell you that our reliance on the media, secular or otherwise, should be a thing of the past. I firmly believe that we should be fast turning inward to our relationship with God, spending more time in the Word, solemn prayer, supplication, and in our own study with the Holy Spirit to guide us, and not men. But the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you. But as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is true, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, you shall abide in him. 1 John 2:27. We've made a big mistake in blaspheming the power of the Holy Spirit, of blaspheming our God, when we heap to ourselves teachers and guides. Big mistake. You're out there in the wind, saint, and you either have the Holy Spirit to teach you and God's Word to confirm it to you, or you're going to blow away. Like it or not, that's the truth. It is the Spirit that teaches. And who you gonna trust? We should be having virtually nothing to do with the waves of information and studies and commentaries and sundry publications and the like. We're drowning in media. We are studying ourselves stupid. We should be grounding ourselves in our Jesus, our simple Jesus, our rock, quietly, confidently, and praying that we may escape what is to come upon us all, purifying ourselves, striving for holiness, temperance, patience. Now we're too busy flipping pages. In simpler terms, either we have fully separated ourselves from the world, or we will be caught out in the open ground of compromise. Just like the hapless hitchhiker caught in a hailstorm on a long Texas highway. Ain't nowhere to run, ain't nowhere to hide. The time has come to prove our sincerity, saints. The metal is to be proved. If the Holy Spirit is in us, we are already equipped for all that is required of us, and we have access to our God and answers to our prayers. The first century saints would probably roll their eyes and drop dead with laughter if they saw all the informational junk we have piled up on our shelves and bookcases and stuffed into our Bibles, as they'd watch us grope along like limping wimps, acting like we had no idea of what the Spirit truly was. Think about it. I'm telling you, it's time to ditch the training wheels and to get real. We're not supposed to have anything within the grips of our hands as we meet our God and live His way. We need someone else to do the walking for us, don't we? And we are going to fast become abominations in the eyes of our God if we continue to allow ourselves to gulp down the foul, brackish water of the devilish food of useless information out there. Get it from God yourselves. Pray for wisdom. pray for understanding. God's not going to send it to you in a publication or in an email. He's going to give it to you when you're on your face or thereafter, if that's what you desire. Covet the things of God and don't be foolish. Get real. We haven't got much time. It is the 11th hour by my reckoning. The gloom has gathered. Something's up. There was a time for planting. I believe even the time to reap is drawing to a close. There is an eerie calm out there, a quietness permeated only by the tolling bells. Are we readying ourselves spiritually? Forget the canned food and the bug-out packs already, folks. Get right with your refuge first. Will somebody kindly tell me what your souls are worth to you? For we are strangers before thee and sojourners, as were all our fathers. Our days on the earth are as a shadow, and there is none abiding. The sun is setting on the world of men, and soon dusk shall come. The strangers will find rest and home, but not here. Tribulation such as the planet has not seen nor ever will see again is at the door. Believers today are living in more tribulation than we would have dreamt possible. We don't need a prophet to tell us this. We need to read the words of Jesus Christ, the last day's prophet and Son of God. Amen. We must work while it is still day. We must shut out the voices. We must covet and hold fast to the peace that passes all understanding. We must check our spiritual houses from foundation to rooftop. We must not allow meaningless, sinful, fleshly, vain distractions to cause us to slip off the way. We must trust like we have never trusted before. We must be at peace. The tears of the sojourner will be wiped away someday, Revelation 21:4, but not here. We have tasks to complete before we sleep. Painful ones, saints, just like Jesus did. And we do share in his sufferings, Philippians 3:10. Fellowships will cease. Fragile bonds wrought by electronic communication will be cut. Free dissemination of information will become impossible. And when we are utterly cut off from one another, if that be God's will we be standing faithful and firm on our narrow way? We will have but one master, one friend, one Lord, one Spirit, and scarce little else. I hasten to remind all that I believe we are all alone on our narrow way, beyond our occasional communication or fellowships. Jesus Christ is the light which guides us to Father, and that light must never be looked away from. It was the ultimate sacrifice for God to send us a way, a light, a door through which we might enter into life, that we may be established once again after all the long ages into fellowship with our Creator. It is as simple as this. Will we have fought the good fight and run the race to its completion and found life? Are you ready if your soul is required of you this night? For the night comes. Was your life worth compromise? Lies? Hell's bells are tolling. Pray they toll not for thee.